Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
And I'm Mujahid Ali.
And Waj, there is a clip. I mean, there are so many clips. But there is a clip that is circulating around social media with regard to black pilots in the cockpit. Do tell us.
Yeah, and so we're not talking about the movie Soul Plane.
Oh, shit.
Pour one out for the old timers who actually saw that with Snoop Dogg as a pilot. Thank you. I'm here all the time for old school pop culture references. We're actually talking, Danielle, about the Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes, which, if you haven't been following, have been temporarily grounded because, thanks to, you know, corporate cost cutting and lack of regulation, after the fact, they found out that the doors on these planes are a little bit faulty. And how do we find out, Danielle? Because in mid-flight, one of these doors just blew off, right? So these Boeing 737 MAX 9s are now grounded. They're used by United Airlines. And, you know, one of them grounded Antony Blinken, you know, just a minor figure. Oh, yeah, our Secretary of State. And instead of having a conversation of, oh, yeah, corporate greed, lack of regulation, lack of oversight, we have, thankfully, MAGA and right-wing conservatives. They don't want to talk about that, Danielle, because that hurts their bottom line. Instead, we have Charlie Kirk, a leader of the Young Brown Shirts of Turning Point USA, who said, quote, "I'm sorry, but if I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified." And then the rant continued about the dangers of black pilots. And Elon Musk, one of the wealthiest men on earth, who is the head of Tesla and X, formerly known as Twitter, he didn't talk about regulation and oversight. Do you know what he tweeted? "People will die due to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion," because he believes that United Airlines and Boeing hiring non-white pilots and factory workers is why these planes, which are overwhelmingly flown by white men, that's the reason why they are literally malfunctioning in midair. And then also the person who doubled down on that was Don Jr., the son of Donald Trump, who, as we know from yesterday's New Hampshire results, will most likely be the 2024 Republican presidential candidate.
So here's the thing that I want to draw people's attention to, and it isn't the consistent and unrelenting just beating the drum for racism and white supremacy that the MAGA supremacists are doing. The fact is that these people, and courtesy of our producer Q, are rage farming, right? They are trying to seed as much rage as they possibly can in us, the American electorate, as a tactic of exhaustion, right? Because what we know is that every day, whether it is a private equity firm, whether it is venture capitalists, whether it's school books, whether it's student athletes that are trans, whether it is gas stoves, whether it is Legos, it doesn't matter what it is. What they want is white supremacy. And what they want and what they are working towards in this election is about solidifying white supremacy in this country. I tweeted out something And I still say tweet because whatever. But yeah. because X'd out sounds fucking stupid. But I tweeted out earlier and I said, you know, we have Republicans right now on Capitol Hill and cable news doing what they normally do is talking about immigration and how we're not going to reach a deal on immigration because Republicans, you know, Donald Trump says, don't compromise. Don't do anything that will show bipartisanship because we don't need a win for Biden, right? Because it's not about a win for the country. It's not about figuring out how we deal and tackle with a crisis that is unfolding across this country where, in my neighborhood, in New York City, that I am seeing homeless migrants around with signs and in freezing cold temperatures without proper clothing because of the rules that my stupid mayor has put in place that has people kicked out of their shelters in 60 days to just go back through the process, right? And so what are they doing in between? They're homeless, unhoused. So what I'm saying here is that we're not going to get an immigration deal. Why? Because the Republican Party wants the ability to punish and abuse immigrants, right? And Democrats have not found a way to create policy that is humane, that is orderly, and that is lawful. These two things, these two parties are never going to meet on this issue because at its foundation is white supremacy. At its foundation is racism. Democrats don't want to upset the white voters that don't vote for them anyway. They don't want to upset them, right? We don't want to have too many brown people in this country. And then the Republicans are just like, well, I want the ability to shoot them. Why can't we just shoot them, right? Which is Greg Abbott and others. And so you're not going to have a compromise that makes sense when those are the polar opposites of compromise.
You know, let's just top of the dome, based on what you said, let me give our listeners examples from this week. Breaking news as of right now, Ohio lawmakers, Republicans, have just banned gender-affirming care for teens. Specifically, we're talking about transgender teens. So my wife, who's a doctor, has said that this is critical for the health and safety of these teens. And while we're going through, you know, so many crises, what do these Ohio lawmakers decide to do? They're like, gotta go after gender affirming care. All right. So that's Ohio. Just yesterday, Oklahoma decides, you know what? We need, you know, our education system is flawed. There are people who are banning books right now. There are people who are going after all diversity initiatives. Who should we bring in to our library committee, right? To oversee it, to our advisory TikTok committee. Guess who they chose? Libs of TikTok creator, yep, Chaya Raichik, who is listed as a hate monger. The woman who has literally targeted LGBTQ folks, educators, and led the book bans. This is the person that they've brought on as their advisory, part of their advisory committee for libraries. Okay, let's go to Texas. You mentioned Texas. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, and this is what should terrify you, because it should have been a 9-0, but four of our bought-out corrupt justices decided to go with Greg Abbott in Texas against federal enforcement of laws because Greg Abbott decided to put razor wires to keep out these undocumented immigrants, right? And I want to remind everyone that Donald Trump, when he was president, just floated the idea of having moats with alligators, okay? And then, as this is happening, a huge Supreme Court case, Chevron, which will most likely go against regulation, has the impact of just destroying safety across the board, air, water, food, you know, basic shit that we need, because the Koch brothers have put all their money in this case to deregulate the entire industry. And yeah, full circle, let me go back to Boeing, folks. You like flying with your doors on? Well, good luck. Say bye to that. and then finally, the white supremacy angle. God. And to bring it full circle to Charlie Kirk, because there's so much shit that just is routinely said now, flooding the zone with shit, to quote Steve Bannon, the strategy that he had to overwhelm mainstream press and institutions while the Trojan horse, their right-wing authoritarian agenda. You would think this would be bigger news, but let's go back to Charlie Kirk. And I have this quote that I wanted to share and bring this to our podcast because we didn't talk about it, Danielle. I think we were on vacation. In December 2023, speaking before a group of students and teachers at America Fest, a mm-hmm. political organization organized by his young brown shirts, Turning Point USA. This is what Charlie Kirk had to say about MLK. Quote, MLK was awful. He's not a good person. He said one good thing he actually didn't believe. He further says, I have a very, very, very radical view on this, but I can defend it, and I've thought about it. We made a huge mistake when we passed the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s. They are literally telling you the plot. Mm-hmm. They want this country to go back, as you and I have said, to 1953 before Brown versus Board of Education. They're literally with like an applause sign saying, we are white supremacists. We like this white supremacy. We hate the gays, the women, the blacks, the Muslims, the immigrants, regulation, the poor. We hate them all. And what do our mainstream institutions and mainstream media do, Danielle, in this moment where they're literally telling you the James Bond villain plot in the first 10 minutes of the movie?
They are telling me what is important between the ideological differences between Nikki Haley and Donald Trump, which there are none.
Well, they she's a moderate.
Showing us an entirely red map, but so Steve Kornacki can point to one little town and say, if Nikki Haley turns this one blue or it turns this one in her favor, then maybe she'll have a chance in hell. What you have just laid out, Waj, for our listeners is the MAGA supremacist takeover map.
No.
Folks, we've talked about it and I will mention it again. All of this is laid out in Project 2025, which is on the Heritage Foundation's website. It is a $1 billion campaign and plan to have operational on day one the gutting of government agencies, of career, right? Of career. Appointed officials, the ones that understand and have for decades upon decades how our government works.
Expertise.
To shut down agencies, right? And departments that they deem unnecessary. When you say, Waj, that they want to bring us back to 1953, every single thing that they are doing is turning back the clock on the last 60 years of progress.
That's right.
This country is about to celebrate, 250 years of quote-unquote independence, which is a fucking lie, because it only was independent for 200 and some odd years for white Americans. In 60 years, women, LGBTQ people, Black Americans, immigrants, people with disabilities, and others were able, right, to fight for and win rights and a seat at the table. What MAGA supremacists want to do, stop the clock,
right,
roll it back, and put everyone who is not white, who is not cis, who is not male, who is not a Christo-fascist, back in their place. And they are doing it, aided and embedded by the 9 unelected Black robes that are sitting in the Supreme Court that we know are bought and paid for by Harlan Crow and others.
I mean, that 5-4 decision, people said, well, hey, it's 5-4, right? It's a win for the Biden administration. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, it should have been 9-0. It should have been a shutout. The fact that 4 of these folks, and the one who defected and was hated on by MAGA on social media was Amy Barrett. So she's the one who said, you know, this might be a little too much even for me, right? So the fact that it was even a 5-4 decision, Daniel, just goes to show what a precarious situation we're in. We're barely hanging on, right? And this is why when it comes to elections, and you and I have our critiques of the Biden administration, because we should. Like I've always said, he's not God. He's not a king. The Democratic Party, I have not given my loyalty to them. You know, these are our elected officials. They're servants of the people. When they do well, you praise them. When they don't do well, you push them, right? But this both sides analysis is so flawed. And when I still try to galvanize people to vote, I say, listen, look at the Supreme Court. The next term, the next 4 years, some of these dudes are old as hell. I'm just being honest. I don't know if they're going to last.
They're not old enough. Well, they're not old enough. They're not knocking on 80's door.
They're not knocking on 80's door, but you know, Alito and Thomas, they're not young bucks, right? You know, you don't know what's going to happen. So if two of them fall, do you want a Republican president to install two 42-year-old right-wing freaks, or even more to the extreme to them, right? Especially as I think they're going to gut this. This Chevron case is going to be devastating, in my opinion. They also already went after Affirmative Action, and they're going after aggressively every DEI, quote-unquote, boogeyman that they can find, right? Everything they don't like is DEI, but there's actually something called DEI, just like there's something called CRT, which has tried in some small way to advance, like you said, progress. And speaking about their plan, the fact that they're so open about it, so naked about it, so shameless about it, and there was a huge article that came out last week, and the New York Times did a fantastic expose where they went over like 5,000 emails and documents, and they uncovered, lo and behold, a right-wing infrastructure with think tanks and media personalities and right-wing money. They're aggressively going after any quote-unquote DEI initiative, right? And I just want to, can I just read you a quote from one of these emails, because I did a little research for us this week. It's exquisite. This is from a woman, Heather McDonald, from the right-wing Claremont Institute. Quote, as I was taking my evening power walk in the hood here, parentheses, Upper East Side, and seeing all the nannies of color walking school children back to their apartments, it struck me again, the bizarreness of females deciding that their comparative advantage isn't being an associate in a law firm, say, and thus that they should outsource the once-in-a-lifetime, unduplicable, unrepeatable experience of raising a unique child to someone else, especially someone from the low IQ third world. While they do the drone work of making partner, the child is evolving so quickly, absorbing so many influences, and yet they would rather absent themselves from its life to show that they are as good as males. Such a distribution of labor is allegedly Pareto optimal, another curse of feminism.
From The New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young Black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young Black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
There are not enough words for me to push back against that statement. But again,
this it's just so exquisite.
This is a white woman talking about other white women and their role to solely be mindless baby incubators for white men and white supremacy. I just want that. Oh, I had to pause. I had to stop myself. I want folks to understand that let's just take a little walk in history and understand that white women have never raised their kids on their own. Okay. That's what they had the house enslaved women for. Right? They didn't even breastfeed their own fucking kids. That's what they had the Black enslaved women in the house for. So the audacity to even make a claim about, oh, somehow, you know, you would rather outsource, bitch, that's what fucking slavery was. It was about outsourcing every fucking thing, right? To people that then you turned around and said were absolutely and completely lazy. And somehow that stereotype is stuck. But I'm so confused at how the people who didn't want to get their hands dirty in terms of building their own fucking country then turned around and brought in the labor to do the work for them, and then turned around and said that those people that were working 24 hours a day under duress, rape, you know, brutality, were somehow lazy. Siwaj, like, I can't have you read those things, because I am working on a peaceful mindset, and the rage that just sparked in me. But these white women, they will sit there and they will hold the water for white supremacy. They are absolutely no better. They would rather vote for a man that says that he can grab them by the pussy than have voted for Hillary Clinton, one of their own, right? You, a turning point. Remember that there was a young woman who stood up and said that, you know, she wants to be a surgeon. She wants to do this, that, and the other thing. And what was the response? Go hold a baby and then tell me how you feel after that. These white men think so little of their supposed mates, and they're okay with that, because that's how seductive white supremacy and the proximity to power is.
Well, speaking about proximity to power, and since I have you on a jukebox of rage, and I want to test out your new meditative practices, which I commend you. You actually stopped yourself and you took a breath. But speaking about closeness and proximity to whiteness, Tim Scott.
Oh, dear God.
We haven't talked about him, but two big things happened with Tim Scott. He allegedly proposed to a live human female adult who accepted his proposal. So now he's engaged to marry a live female human adult. That's wonderful. And then he decided to go to New Hampshire, stand next to, behind Donald Trump, the man who complained that there's a lot of immigrants coming here from shithole countries, a man who dined with Nick Fuentes, a white nationalist, a man who said that the white nationalists, the neo-Nazis, and the KKK who assembled at Charlottesville and who chanted the Jews will not replace us were very fine people. And with a big toothy smile, he sat there and just vouched for Trump. Danielle.
No, he didn't just vouch for him, Waj. Tell them what he said.
What did he say? Oh, you said...
So here's the thing.
And he also threw Nikki Haley under the bus. Nikki Haley, right, from his own state.
Right. Because when Donald Trump said to Tim Scott, you know, Nikki Haley, she appointed you... You know, she's from your home state. You must really hate her. That's what Donald Trump said to Tim Scott. Tim Scott's response, no, I just really love you. I just love you so much. Let me tell you something, folks. There are terms, there are words that I will not use on said show about Tim Scott and Black people, people of color like Tim Scott. But no matter how much you kiss the ring, no matter how low you bend your head, they will never love you.
They will never
love
you.
Because you do not have the complexion for the protection. You do not have the complexion to be in their country clubs, to be on their ticket, right? To when Tim Scott was running in that, you know, faceless, literally faceless campaign that he ran, because that, folks, was the avatar that he used, just the black face, no eyes,
no eyeballs, no teeth, eyeballs, no nose,
no teeth, no nothing, because that's what he thinks about himself, because that is the kind of party that he is in. You know, they said that he was gay. They called him everything but a child of God, right? And what did Tim Scott turn around and do? Go right back to Massa. So, you know, let me tell you something. There are always people like this, right? Like, you know, there's whole movies and series and books and things written about people like Tim Scott. You know, here's the difference though, between him and Clarence Thomas. At least Clarence Thomas is getting paid.
That's right.
You know, at least get paid. Like, at least if you're going to kiss the ring, if you're going to, you know, the word is not, what's the word that he's doing, Watch? Cause it's not even humbling yourself. What is the word?
Being a masochist.
Right.
An amoeba.
An amoeba, spineless, weak. The opposite of whatever you believe is the alpha male, to be the lapdog for white supremacy, right?
Footstool.
The footstool, at the very least, the lawn jockey. I can keep going. At the very least, Clarence Thomas is like, well, in order for me to keep my mouth shut for 25 years, you're going to have to pay me. So,
you know what? Work the hustle. At least make money from the hustle. That if you're really in this hustle, make money, get paid. Because at least a part of me then says, you know what, bro? At least you paid your bills. All right. You took the white man's money. But this guy seems to do it for free. That's the worst part.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast. And this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
From Foreign Policy, I'm Rina Ninen, the host of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women. Over the past few years, we've looked at how women around the world are changing societal norms to increase their economic power. This season, we're focusing completely on girls, how they're pushing for a brighter, more powerful future, and what the rest of us can do to set them up for success. Join us for stories about girl power, young women who are fighting for change, to give themselves a chance to live a life of their own choosing. That's season 6 of The Hidden Economics of Remarkable Women, wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's the Republican Party right now, what they've done to Trump and how they've taken a knee to white supremacy. There's a great quote from Born Identity, which comes back in the last one, the Born Ultimatum, where these assassins who are brainwashed, right, as they're dying, they have this moment of clarity. And Clive Owen's character,
yes,
you know, because he doesn't know what he's doing, but he's been brainwashed. So he's they get triggered to go kill Matt Damon. And Matt Damon shoots him. And as he's dying, he's holding out his bleeding gut. And he looks at Matt Damon. He goes, look at what they make you give. And in the last one, before Matt Damon jumps off and survives, there's another actor who's like him, brainwashed, and he's chasing him. And he has him dead to rights. And he looks at him and he goes, look at what they make you give. And the saddest part about the Republican Party is that they're not making them give it. They're willingly debasing themselves. And I called Nikki Haley. And since you went after Tim Scott, I have to go after my own. Nikki Haley is now seen as the independent savior of the Republican Party. And I want to tie things together and show folks and prove to folks that this is the Republican Party, folks. There's no moderate in the Republican mm-hmm. Party. Because Nikki Haley, whom I've referred to as the Manchurian candidate, has said that America is not a racist country. When she was asked point blank what caused the Civil War, she did not say slavery. She's the one that took down the Confederate flag, but now ignores it completely from her campaign ad, right? She's the one who told Raphael Warnock, a black man, to go back to his country. She's the one who has forgotten her own family's history of coming here thanks to the 1965 Immigration Nationality Act, where her brown father was able to come into the United States and be a professor where? At a historically black college. And speaking about the complexion, what did Donald Trump say? I bring this up almost every episode. When she was brought forth as a potential VP candidate, she has a complexion problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you get the moderate Nikki Haley, and this is what really bothers me, because I'm looking at the New Hampshire results and the analysis, she won over independents. She's the moderate voice. This is the moderate. Open your eyes, mainstream media. Open your eyes, mainstream institution. This is the present and future of the conservative movement and Republican Party. They are telling you exactly who they are. And I want Biden to go back to the Biden that accidentally called out the extremist MAGA movement. Remember that? In a fundraiser. I want him to call out and name these people. And I want the Democrats to put on their brass knuckles and fight. Because literally they're coming after LGBTQ folks. They're coming after our books. They're coming after black folks. They're coming after Muslims. They're coming after women. And I want Democrats to sound the alarms and rally the Avengers, freaking be like Captain America and Doctor Strange and open up the portals and say, we got all of you. We're going after Thanos. And Thanos is white supremacy.
1,000%. I will say to close here that, our friend was on MSNBC, Jason Johnson. And he said, when asked about, Biden's messaging, does he need to change his messaging? And he said, no, he doesn't. This isn't a game about the right message, the wrong message. We need a wartime president because we are at war. We are at war with the Republican Party. We are at war with white supremacy. We are at war with people who do not believe in the Constitution and the rule of law. And they are showing us that they are not giving up. Right? That it isn't just Trump. It is infused in every avenue and every place. While we were all celebrating the wins that we have seen over the last 60 years, and frankly, over the last 8 years, right? They were working overtime. They were working overtime. While we were celebrating marriage equality, they were thinking about the Supreme Court.
That's right.
While we were saying to ourselves, oh, we're going to have the first woman president, they're like, get back in the kitchen because we're going to ensure that you have to birth those babies through forced labor, right? All of the things, while we were celebrating the first Black president of the United States, they were saying to themselves, he will be the last because we're going to roll back affirmative action. We're going to roll back access to education. We're going to roll back everything that we possibly can that is quote unquote leveled the playing field, right? So at the end of the day, if this president, current president, does not start acting like we are at fucking war with white supremacists who disavow democracy in favor of authoritarianism, we are not going to get that Avengers moment that we need in order to win 2024.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Danielle Moody.
I'm Ajat Ali.
And we will be back next week, folks, if in fact we have a country left. Inshallah.